Hey guys, and welcome to the Good Girls After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we're talking about how Boomer might blow the girls' cover, plus a new must-read book. That's all coming up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This gets me in the mood to do some like detective work,
right? Like lasers and just like
lasers. Fire the laser beam! Exactly. Like rob a bank, mm-hmm. a grocery store.
I just wear hot black clothing.
Yes, leather.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I'm all about it.
I'm all about it too. All right, well, welcome guys. This is Good Girls After Show episode 4, Atomic Bomb, and I'm Kelsey Hightower, and to my left, Juliet, you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody, I'm so happy to be back for episode 4. I am Juliet, yeah.
Yes, and if you're watching here live, you can definitely subscribe to us, you can chime in on the chat and talk to us live, or leave us a comment. If you're on iTunes, then definitely give us that 5-star rating. We love ratings, and we love stars, so there you go. Tonight, we are going to be talking about episode 4, Boomer and his shenanigans, plus what the girls' new scheme is. Last week, we had a few predictions mm-hmm. on what the girls were actually going to be doing with the street gang. And we found out exactly what's happening. I was talking last week that they might like run away, like go to a different country and start doing drugs.
Right.
What did you say last week that you were
I was thinking? Kind of wrong, but you know what? I still think it might happen later on in the season. I was seeing some sexual tension between
yes.
Beth and Rio.
Yes, you are.
But as of now, we're seeing that tension is more power kind of competition.
Because
you know?
Both of them are so powerful in this mm-hmm. series. Like,
right.
she's very both of them are dominant, you know, like the lion and the lioness.
Right.
So.
They're definitely these big forces. He has an advantage, which is the gun. Yeah. Lots
yep.
of gun, lots of violence. So she's really strong, but she still hasn't figured out how to win over with him.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're maybe a little bit off on our predictions from last week. I mean, you might still be coming in strong on that one. I was way out of the ballpark, but we will have predictions at the end of the show, and we have more news coming up. I'll tell you a little bit more about that book situation that I'm mm-hmm. talking about.
Can't wait.
I know. I have some exciting stuff to talk about. But first, let's dig in with Boomer's storyline. So he is kind of a creep, I think. I think we could probably all agree on that.
Yeah, definitely. I think we established that in the past episodes.
Yes.
Nice guy.
Not a nice guy, you know, tries to rape his employees and stuff like that. So, you know.
And blackmail.
Blackmail.
It's a big, big list.
Yes. And this week we are seeing him go to the detectives and he wants to turn the girls in.
Right.
So it's kind of sleazy. So we saw that. We also saw him at the birthday party mm-hmm. where he's like trying to make up for the girls. But I kind of think that he's like playing nice because he's trying to catch them.
Right.
Like he wants to be his own detective work.
Oh, for sure. I mean, 100%. He, as you said, you mentioned, we see him go into the office speaking to the detective, which was a very funny scene because the detective was kind of being sarcastic and playing with him like, oh, we're on to something. No, we're not at all onto something. Go on a date. Go have fun. So with that storyline, it was kind of like, oh, is he actually just going to the birthday party to try to win Annie back in some twisted way? Is he listening to the cop? And then as the episode unfolds, nah, he's all about catching these girls, man.
I know. And that was a really funny scene about when he was talking to the detective and how the detective thinks that, you know, he needs a girl or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I really like how they're playing that the detectives don't believe him. And I wish that would have lasted longer, like through the next episode, because the detective ends up showing up at the girl's house at the very end of the episode. But I kind of wish that would have dragged out like a little bit longer to where we could have seen kind of like that, you know, comedic relief there between like Boomer being super serious, saying like there's a crime, and then the detective like not believing anything he says.
Right.
Like I really like that.
You wanted that to last for longer.
I did. I wanted that to last a little bit longer.
It's true that their banner was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It really was. Because the detective a couple of times got me and I was like, oh shoot. And then I was like, oh no, he's just playing with us.
Yeah, he's just playing. And I really like how Boomer is kind of like an idiot kind of portrayed in that light. And so I kind of like to see him do more like stupid stuff, I guess. So that's kind of where I hope that that ends up going. And then the girls. So Beth and the kids at the very beginning of the episode, you were talking, we were talking about this before the show. The girls are still deep in money issues. Like that's the whole theme of the show. And they get home and the biggest thing is there is a dead, well, what I thought was a dead person in Beth's kids' bedroom.
Right. It's, ugh, he's shirtless and there's lots and lots of blood.
Okay. And I was eating while I was watching this episode and I was like, I need to put down my food. Like, I know this is like fake blood or whatever, but still,
pretty
I was
gruesome.
Like,
yeah, definitely gruesome. And it's funny because some you see Beth at the, with this hectic life and she's being pulled in every direction. She's coming home from the grocery store, doing all these crazy things. Everyone wants her attention. Her son's asking for a birthday party. She can't afford that. She's trying to dodge all these crazy things. And, you know, one of kids, you know, they want attention. So she's like, mommy, mommy, who's in my room? Blah, blah, blah. And she, you know, it's easy for someone to just brush that off. And she was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? And it just really shows the tone of the show, which is a comedy, but it's such a drama. It's an action movie. It's an action show.
Yeah.
Where it's just, it goes from hectic housewife to, wow, there's a bloody man in my daughter's bed.
Yes. I like how you phrase that, how it's like a comedy and a drama, because it is exactly that. You know, they're making all of these, you know, deaths and robberies and everything just so funny.
And it's so suspenseful, right? So I'm really, I don't know about you, but this far, I'm really enjoying this show. As I was watching this episode, I was like, really, I hope this, I hope we see a long season, hopefully season two. I'm calling it after episode four. Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Well, that'll be part of the predictions, I think, ongoing. Yeah. So I like that as well. And then we also see Ruby's storyline where she's at the diner and she's having a really hard time. This is another, like, very serious moment in this comedy where the teenagers are making fun of her and heckling her and all of that. It's kind of, it was really a sad scene for me. I was just like, I hate when people treat other people like that. I've been a waitress before, like through college and stuff, and like dealing with people who are just awful and you can't do anything about it. Like you're stuck at your job. Like, what are you going to do? You know, like you're working, like you have to kind of be nice to the people.
Yeah, just
you know?
The customer is king, and sometimes, you know, they really don't deserve it, but it is what it is. And I really like how she kept her composure.
Yeah.
And she was even saying, like, every time you put your money into your milkshake, and she was like, I don't, it's fine. If you don't have them, first of all, you leave a really bad tip. If you don't have the money for a good tip, that's fine. Just, I would appreciate you leaving, like, my few cents not in there. And she's such class.
It
which was crazy.
It gave me chills.
It did too. But you know what? What I thought was sad?
What?
It was actually the kid. Because I'm like, you're so young. And in your little dweeb of a mind, you think that's okay to talk to someone like that. Your elder, someone in the service industry. That's just, it's very sad. It's infuriating, of course. But it's sad because it's like, someone needs to put him back in his place.
Definitely. And we see that with the mom, too. Whenever they come back to the diner and Ruby's supposed to apologize. And it's the kid and his mom. And she is just as bad or worse. And
definitely worse, because she should know better. She should know better.
Yes. And I feel like, I don't know if I've ever had this situation in my life, like this extreme. But have you ever come across this, like seen this, where it's like, I don't know if it's in a restaurant or whatever, but you see the parent who's like so much worse than the kid.
Oh, right. Like, my son can do no wrong.
Yeah, just
you
entitled,
pushed him to burn
privilege.
Himself. So insane.
Yeah.
A sizzling skillet.
I know.
Not only, as she points out in the show, it's in the name, you also hear it, you see it. What kind of moron puts his hands on there? Do you think that was intentional?
No kidding. That's a good question. I don't know that it was intentional. I think he was just being stupid and then he just blamed it on, you know, her saying,
right,
you should have told me that it was hot, and when it's common sense. It's like drinking hot coffee, like right off the bat, you know, it's like, or it just came out of the oven. Like, obviously it just came out of the oven.
Or like she
you
said,
know?
Should we have a note for ice cream? Like, ooh, it might be a little chilly.
Yes. Okay. So going back to that speech that she gave when she was supposed to apologize, but she kind of, you know, ripped the kid a new one, and just told him, how he should act and like what he should say. And I thought that was brilliant. Like the way that she worded it and the way that she kind of told off the mom and was like, this is the next generation. Then like, I feel sorry for this generation right. and stuff. Like you don't know how to act or treat your elders or anything. I was like, standing ovation. Like that was beautiful.
It was so great. And it was, you see her by her tongue. And then something had to be said. It was at the cost of her job. So yeah. That's something we'll debate later, but it was really great. I actually, during that scene though, I wish she would have been given more specifics, just because when you're dealing with that type of psychotic people mm-hmm. as the mother, you need to be specific. Like, this is what's been happening. This is why it's not okay. Versus she kind of went into insulting the kid, which rightfully so. Yeah. Yet, I think you need to really maybe step away from the insults and insult him with the truth, right? Yeah. Because that is an insulting truth that your son behaves that way.
Yes.
And you should see it that way.
And, the parent should be able to be like, listen, you know, like, or see, this is what your kid has been doing every single day that he comes to eat here,
this
like, X, Y, and Z.
This is a little monster you are catering to. You've made this awful of a human being.
But she's a monster, too. Like, look at her. And she is just a walking monster. She's like, you should have told him that it's hot. He's a teenager. They should be smarter than this.
They do too. But I appreciate how she was saying, and when she was telling her off, she was like, that's definitely not a third degree burn.
I love that she said that.
Because she's in the service industry, right? Yeah. That happens on a daily basis. You're moving stuff. Like things happen when you're in a kitchen.
Yeah, so. You touch things. Like you've touched things that are hot
right,
before.
But you're working. You're not just a stupid little kid who's telling people off and touching plates for no reason. So I'm with you. I enjoyed that scene.
I did too. It was really powerful. And then we saw Annie and Sadie, and the peers are like her school kids are like pulling her pants down to see if she's a guy or a girl because she's she dresses in bow ties, but she's a girl and all that stuff. So that's like that was a heartbreaking scene, I think. Just to think about like the kids having to go through that and a different type of bullying, you know, at school. So
definitely sad. And it showed a lot about how great of a mother Annie is because mm-hmm. when Sadie's telling her this, you could tell it's gut wrenching. She's trying not to cry, but as a good mother, she kind of doesn't let that face her. Right. And she jokes with Sadie and she starts poking fun at her. She does everything for Sadie to laugh. Right.
Yes.
She's not like, oh, poor you, which she kind of alludes to, but it's just, I thought that was such a great parenting.
I thought so too. She's mm-hmm. such a good mom, you know. I want her to be like my best friend and my mom. Like, I just love her character. I love her as a person too. She's, mm-hmm. she's like one of my favorites in all the roles that she plays. So I really like that. And then all three girls come together to look at that dead body in Beth's house and try and figure out who did this, which obviously it was Rio and his gang. And right. because Beth had asked for something, it's always important when you're asking for something to, you know, be careful what you wish for or be specific. So, you got to be careful with that.
Whenever I saw those two girls, all three of them two of them step into Beth's room, my first thought was like, I want to know what this group text chain is like. What are the texts that go down where it's like, come to the house, and like they have to be cryptic yet, right. you know, what if they were completely uncensored? Like, I'm sure those must be the funniest texts. And now, you know, if I was in that throuple, every time I get a text from Beth, I'm like, oh my God, what's murder scene are we about to clean up? Like, what's going down?
Like, what is another red pool?
Yeah.
Another crazy. Incident. You know,
exactly.
Or maybe they just use emojis, you know, the water gun,
right?
You know,
exactly.
Bed
must be the funniest section. I'm telling you,
I like it.
I thought a funny quote also during that scene was as you explain, you know, she tells them that's when she announces, like, I offered to take another job, we all need the money. And Ruby's like, you can't just sign someone up to do a criminal activity like it's like carpool or something or a bake sale. And it's true that they have this little, you know, mother housewife. Always on the go mentality where it's like, yeah, it's like a bake sale. I'm just gonna sign you up. We're gonna figure this out.
You know, like I signed you up last week for after school activities. Yeah, I signed you up for another crime.
Exactly.
NBD.
But this pays way, way more.
Yeah. Well, at least you would think. So they get paid if they complete the job. So they're supposed to take care of this wounded guy. He's like half dead. We don't really know. And so that's their job. Then Then we see Ruby. Okay, so then we kind of go back. They've got to plan the birthday party. So in the midst of this guy, like, being half dead in their room, they've also got to plan this 11-year-old's birthday party, and they don't have any money. Mm-hmm. So what do?
Wait, can we back up a second?
Yeah, let's back up.
I thought that was just – there's a whole storyline with Beth's husband.
Yes.
Also, right, because – so first it's of all, she sees the body, and she's like – tells her kids, who wants to go to dad's pool? Such a funny – you know.
Again, go away. Shoo, shoo. Get him out.
Handle some business.
Mom's got some work to do, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. He comes in, and he's just kind of guilt-tripping her a lot, right, about the fact that she needs to – that they're not together, that he's sad, all this. Like, how long – he's asking her, how long is he, you know, not going to be – in the house for,
yeah,
which I thought was insane.
And he's trying to guilt trip her with the kids too, saying the kids miss us together, and all he wants for his birthday is for us to be together. So
exactly, that's so it was just crazy. And like my whole point with that is just that like this guy character, I'm sorry, he's so terrible. He keeps going lower and lower and lower, right?
Yeah,
you've already failed, you know, as a breadwinner, you failed as a husband, and now as a parent, you're not even on your wife's team, and you're being the yes guy, mm-hmm. and you're like yes. Of course we can have this party that you guys can't afford just because you want to be the good guy.
Yeah, good cop, bad cop. He wants to be a good guy. And it's almost to where he is doing all of this really bad stuff and guilty and like just going lower and lower and lower that you almost feel bad for him in a way just because you're like, he's so pathetic, like that sort of thing, which that's like a harsh word to use. But, true. You know, like he's a pathetic dad in this.
Oh, 100%.
In this season.
And he always makes her to be the bad guy. And she tells him, she's like, go tell him, you know, that this is not possible. And he's like, and he refuses to do so. And she's like, because of you, my whole life, I'm going to have to look at these kids.
And tell them no every single day, you know, because we can't afford it and all that stuff.
Exactly.
That's a hard position to be in.
It is because she's in her children's eyes, like the bad cop or bad parent when she's the best parent, you know?
I know. And she doesn't get to do like all the fun stuff that he does. It's like she's always picking up his messes.
Right.
So tough. Yeah. So because of that, they're throwing a birthday party. Mm-hmm. And to throw the birthday party because they don't have any money, they are going to the superstore, the Cloud Nine, which if – I don't know if you noticed, but this is a touch to – Superstore, mm-hmm. their show, because Superstore takes place at Cloud Nine, this big store. And so they have all their employees, and I was like waiting for like Amy to show up or, you know, Jonah, like all these characters. I'm like, this is weird to watch like two episodes in one. But have you watched Superstore?
I have not, but I made that clear.
You saw that,
so
yeah.
So is she a known character, the girl with the
yes.
head?
No, that character, no. So none of the characters that were on in this episode were known characters or like established characters. And it was like a little bit different. Like I feel like Superstore looks more like a Walmart and this kind of looks like a Sam's. I know that's like the same store, but it's a little bit different. One's like a warehouse. Yeah. One's like a Superstore.
When you drive by Warner's out here in LA, you get to see
or Universal.
You get to see the Cloud Nine. It's always really funny because when that first show came out, I was like, oh wait, is that a real supermarket? Where is it? Because
yeah, you're like trying to go there. You're like, I need to go shopping. That would be fun.
No, these are studios, ma'am. Please leave the lot. Please leave the lot.
Please exit immediately. You're like,
if you're ever in LA, guys, go check that out.
I know. That's fun. So that was really fun to watch how they incorporated that into this show.
It was nice to have them to see the characters have fun, right?
Yeah.
But that, also, I have to talk about the score on this show. They have to do a great job with the music, and it adds such a dynamic to it.
Yes.
And it was really, really neat. You're just seeing them walk around the store and grabbing popcorn machines and grabbing so much stuff, and it was like, yes, they get to have a little fun at least between the crime and the cheating husband.
Yeah, that's a good like break. Have you ever done that before, like bought something knowing that you're going to return it? Because I definitely have.
Obviously.
Okay, because I did this recently. I went shopping because I was going to do some like new photos or whatever. And I went to the stores and I was like, I'm going to go shopping and it doesn't really matter because I'm going to be returning this tomorrow. And I went back and returned it and was like, all my money's there. It's like it never left. It is It's really fun. Like, I mean, you obviously can't break anything or like really stain, use it or stain it or anything. Otherwise, that's going to be a pickle. But it's really fun to do. Like,
yeah, and it was a really good setup. We'll discuss obviously afterwards how the episode ends. But I thought it was really neat because this show does a good job at entertaining you. But yet mm-hmm. the whole episode, they're feeding us different storylines and it kind of all comes together.
Yes, which I thought it comes really together cool. at the end, which is good. So fast forward. So the guy wakes up from Beth's bed. So as he wakes up, he like has a gun to their heads and is like, you know, I need to get out of here. Like you would be probably pretty confused if you thought you were, you know, half dead and you wake up and you don't know what house you're in or
especially
where.
Like this housewife's house, beautiful yeah. bed. He's like, just very confused.
I would think that it was a cop's wife or something like that, you know, something very bad. So
right. And he probably was moved there when he was unconscious. As we see, he's like a little bit, he's wrapped up, but he's definitely has some gunshot wounds. So he's yeah. definitely not there and he's freaking out.
Yeah. So he takes their car there without all of that. And then that's kind of like the big thing. So do you want to talk about the birthday party? That was like the big event.
Sure.
Okay. So birthday party comes and Boomer shows up mm-hmm. with this big cake. We talked about this already a little bit. He's trying to impress Annie, brings this huge like cake that
I'm
was
sorry,
ridiculous.
I tried to rape you cake.
Yes.
As Annie points out, I'm yes. sorry I try to rape you, cake.
Like, that's the best we could come up with was cake, you know?
Yeah. He's trying.
And then we see this little scene with Beth's husband and Ruby's husband where they're watching football. But Beth's husband is, like, talking about how sad he is and how much he misses Beth. And, like, you kind of see that, like, tender moment. You see a lot of these moments where it's, like, he's really sad about what he did and he feels guilty, but
he's pathetic
at the same time. It's like more comes off pathetic than anything else, you know,
for sure. Even the way he's crying and everything, it's like, oh,
you're like, you feel so bad, you're like, stop, you know. You're just like,
maybe it's just me, I have zero sympathy for this guy.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if they're trying to make you have feelings for him though because he's crying so much.
I don't know,
like,
I was thinking about that the whole time I'm watching this. I'm just infuriated because, again, I have no patience for him. I think he's such a moron. Mm-hmm. He's just so annoying to me. Yet I see what you're saying. I've seen these scenes develop where they're trying to make the audience feel bad for him, the yeah. sad music, him being sentimental, this whole thing. But I really, really hope they don't fall into that trap and they don't allow Beth to forgive him, you know, too soon. And he needs to have some kind of not one huge grand gestures, but many, many. What he's broken seems unfixable, but perhaps there's a way, but he needs to work really, really hard.
Yeah, and I think if they're going to get back together, then he's just going to have to keep doing, like, more gestures like this. And what he ended up doing this time is when he saw Beth, he said that he has cancer. Mm-hmm. And that was really sad, and you feel for him kind of in that moment because you're like, and but when I saw this, did you think that he had cancer from the
Hell
beginning?
No.
I
Hell
didn't
no.
either. But then the way that she reacted, I was like, well, maybe. I'm not sure where they're going with this.
Right.
So we see that he potentially has cancer. She takes him into, you know, her home, lets him sleep, not in her bed, but like in the guest bed and is like, you know.
No, actually in his son's room.
Oh, the son's room. That's right.
So
the bunk
he's
beds.
In the bunk bed. So they get to bond, which is good. But yeah, that scene was really strange because I was like, as soon as he said it, and he's half crying and he just looks crazy. And I'm just like, oh, this is such a lie. Such a lie. But as you're saying, her reaction was just very devastated, you know, as it should. He's the father of his four kids. They've been yeah. together for 20 years. So yeah, that was just really tough. But and I was just like, damn, this girl can't win. And she's even crying to Annie. And she's just like, when in life becomes such a huge monster. Just,
I know.
That's why I enjoy those shopping scenes. I'm telling you.
I know. Those are so good. Like, those are... Those
These
make
girls
you feel
need
good.
To have fun.
They need to shop. Let the girls shop. So then we find out the gang guy comes back with the car with bullets in the rear of fender. And Annie has an idea. She takes him and they go to school to help out with Sadie and her bullies. So I thought that was a pretty funny scene. I love the scenes with Mae Whitman in them. Like, she is one of my favorites. So yeah, so the gang guy, he like really shows these kids up and tells them like,
Don't mess with Sadie.
Don't you mess with Sadie.
That was such a funny scene.
It was good. Stressful. It was very stressful, but it was like he was a big brother figure, you know, to the family and stuff. I don't know. I thought it was cool.
It's just so cool to see how these two worlds interact, right? So it's just like this family, normal people home and with this like huge guy who is full of tattoos. Also, these beautiful blue eyes. I thought he was so handsome. I was like, oh, God. And then he's just like this gangster and is breaking little kids' fingers.
I know. Like, what are those kids going to say? Like, if that brat from Ruby's Diner is, like, upset about touching a hot skillet, what are these kids going to say about their broken fingers, you know?
I don't know. I think that he really definitely scared them straight. So I hope that Sadie's going to be good for a while.
Yes. Hopefully so. The break. And then the other storyline with Sadie is if she's going to be going to a private school or not. Right. So I don't know. Maybe that'll be in a prediction. What's going to happen with Sadie if she's going to stay in that school or not, you right. know? And I think that depends on if the ex gets Sadie or if or if Annie does.
Or if, you know, maybe if Annie, you know, starts to cash in a lot more money, maybe she'll be willing to spend money for that That's private true. School. I thought that was interesting how that storyline kind of developed from that. From it's like, oh, she's getting this gangster to protect her daughter. But at the end of the day, it also shows the underlying issue that this is maybe not the best school for her kid.
Right.
The fact that some rando can walk in the class, in the lunch area, break a kid's finger,
and he's probably
and
still
leave.
Got a gun on him, you know?
Exactly. And then he can leave, and there's no one in sight because they're understaffed. Like, that shows a huge issue, which is sad about the American public system.
Yeah.
And for Sadie, you know, then as they're having this discussion with Annie and her ex, that kind of comes up, and there's more, you see that tension, and they have sweet moments, as Annie points out. Mm-hmm. But yet, there's just, they go at it, man. They go at it.
They do. And then lastly, towards the end of the episode, Ruby is pretending like she's going to work, but she is unemployed. So she got fired. She, you know, quit because of that whole situation. So we're going to have to see what happens with that, because her and her family are the cutest family. Like,
they really
are so precious. Like, I love cute TV families, mm-hmm. and this is like definitely my favorite in this.
Right. I think so too. I think her husband's such a good role model.
Yes.
Great father figure. Great, just really good husband. He's mm-hmm. there. He's there to uplift his wife, take care of her. The fact that he's just his view on life too, as you know, as she's complaining, he grabs her, he shows her like, this is what we fight for every day. It's for our daughter.
Yeah.
We're going to have to split.
Be tough.
You're going to have to split the credit cards to pay for her medication, all that. And he goes, he goes through stuff too. He's called a mall cop every day.
Yeah.
It's not fun, but at the end of the day, he knows that what did he say? He goes, I take it because I have you to come home to. I have this family to come home to.
So sweet. My heart just melts. Like, every time he says anything, he like says all the right things. Right. And he just is so sweet. I just want to be like, oh.
He's so sweet. And that was such a good message for the audience.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, no matter what, we all go through stuff. Maybe not, you know, bloody guy in your daughter's bed kind of stuff, but so we go through our stuff, and some days are better than others, and we all have our work, all stress, all that stuff, and it's nice to have one thing, you know, if it's family, it's friends, side projects, to just focus on and just kind of have that be your escape.
Yeah, he's good. So
he's really good.
Keep him around. And then at the very end, we see that the girls meet with Rio and the gang to propose.
When it comes to Rio, actually, prior to that
deal,
we didn't mention Rio shows up at the birthday party.
He does.
Rio shows up at the birthday party.
And that's an interesting dynamic, too, because Beth's husband sees that there's something going on there, but he thinks it's like the sexual tension, or that she's like sleeping with him or with another guy, when really it's some dirty business.
He has no shame, man. He's just showing up all the time with his
wife's house. That is dangerous for Rio to be showing up, especially with the detective hot on his trail.
Exactly.
And they have pictures of him. So, yeah, that's something that he should be a little bit more careful about
does not care. He's, again, like, this is
careless.
A big house. So careless. And as we see, you know, especially with Boomer on the girls'
on the
trail.
Yeah.
Right? He gets that evidence he's been trying to get to, you know, have the agent take him seriously.
I know.
What'd you think about that whole thing?
About Boomer?
Boomer.
Boomer, yeah. I think that he is a dirty little man who is going to try and catch the girls. So he's been stalking them like this whole time. And I think that that's just going to keep continuing. I don't know that he's going to catch them, but I hope that there's more moments where he is kind of, he looks like, I don't want to say an idiot, but kind of an idiot, you know, like where he looks like the dumb kid.
Yeah.
Who's, like with, when he's with the detective, the banter that they have where, you know, he's like saying something and the detective doesn't take him seriously. Like, I like when that happens to Boomer. So I hope that there's more people who don't take him seriously.
Right. And with that whole scene with Rio, I thought it was interesting because there's so much at stake. Him showing up there, there's so many people there, but also, as we said, so Boomer sees him, but also Beth's ex-husband sees mm-hmm. him. So it's like, oh my gosh, so many people on their trail. It's, I don't know how long they're going to keep this a cover for if he keeps showing up.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting that they gave the storyline that in her ex-husband's eyes, it looked like she had a new boyfriend, yet they're fighting. So it just, I'm wondering of how much he actually knows or right. he was able to figure out. What do you think?
The husband? Mm-hmm. I don't think he's able to figure out very much. He just came up with I have cancer, like on the spot. And right. that's the best that he could do. So I'm thinking he's not going to figure out much. I think he's going to keep thinking that they're in a relationship.
Agreed, 100%. I think the whole goal was to get back into the house, right? Mm-hmm. So he figures out that she's maybe potentially has a new boyfriend that sleeps over every once in a while.
I know.
So now yes. he's going to be behind her all the time to figure out what's going on.
I think so. I feel like we're about to get into predictions. So before that we do...
A few more things, though. But
Before that we do, let's go ahead and take a quick little break because it's getting heated up.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about a new podcast that we have here on AfterBuzz TV, and it is Conversations with Maria Menounos.
Maria Menounos?
Menounos, yes.
Actually not on AfterBuzz TV. Maria Menounos is our founder.
Yes.
But you can find her podcast. It's actually correct. A compilation of her SiriusXM show every day on SiriusXM apart yes. from Fridays. And then on Friday, her free podcast comes out. Which is on iTunes. So.
Yes, perfect.
So, yeah.
So, exactly what Juliet just said. Listen to it on Fridays or on SiriusXM, but you can listen to it on iTunes. And it's definitely a really positive podcast that you can listen to. It talks about health, wellness, career, relationships, finance, more. You have listened to this a lot. Is there anything that you've gotten out that you'd want to share with people that is your favorite thing about this?
Well, I have the privilege of working really closely with Maria, so I've been on a lot of these shows as well, and it's just she has such a crazy energy about herself, and she's gone through so much this past year and in life in general, came up from nothing and has made a great name for herself, has yeah. built AfterBuzz, is so willing to help people, and she just wants to inspire and push people to be their best self. So it's great that we get to benefit from her here at AfterBuzz, and now you guys can too at home and just listen to the podcast on demand whenever you can, just you're driving around, listen to it. It's really worth it. And like you were mentioning, she always has experts, so she's privileged because of the position that she's in to be around the best of the best, and now she shares that with us. So why wouldn't you not listen?
You know? So wake up, listen to it every day, every Friday. So there you can listen to it too.
Like it and tell them, you know, in your comment, just be like, we brought you there. Just be like, hey, I'm coming here because I listen to after shows and they mention your show. That'll just warm her heart. So
yes, do that.
She deserves it, man. She deserves it.
All right. So anything that else that you want to comment on quickly before we go into predictions and news?
Well, we alluded a little bit about it, but let's go more in depth actually how the episode wraps. So the episode wraps with Rio coming and they're having this meeting in the supermarket and having dinner, right?
Yes.
They're just having a little snack. It's just, I love how there's these open air meetings, right?
Yeah, they're just in the middle of nowhere, or not in the middle of nowhere, but like in the middle of in the public. So you're like, it's right under your nose. Like if the detective, like they're on camera everywhere, you know, they're in a big superstore. So like you were saying, they're having this meeting and the girls have this business proposition where they're going to propose taking their counterfeit money that Rio and the gang are making and then turning it over in the store by buying products, using the fake money, and then, you know, after a day or two, returning it back to the store and getting real money from it. So a way to, like, turn the money in a bit. Right. And then from that, they kind of have a little banter back and forth about like how much profit the girls would make from that. And they settled on 12.5%. So, and it was interesting because he said, I'd usually go up to 30. So I don't know if he's trying to like put his moves like slick, like I'm a business guy and I know what I'm doing and you don't in that situation. But that's kind of their next adventure.
Right, it is. It's so cool how, you know, this show takes one storyline and is able to feed it to more and more episodes. And yeah. I really am growing so fond about these characters and these different storylines. And I think there's so much material there that just it keeps snowballing. And this show has a really, I think, has a really great season up ahead. So I'm really excited about that. And I love seeing the interactions, especially with Beth
yeah.
and Rio, because she... In her own way, as we talked about at the top of the episode, she has so much power that she, up until this point, wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
And now she's channeling it. And I feel like it's like a soda bottle, right, that's been shaking so much by life. And now she's kind of slowly exploding, which is really, really cool to watch.
That's a fun feeling, too, to just, like, see somebody have a lot of courage and the power and just, like, come into your own.
Right. And finally be free. And finally, yeah, because we're saying coming into her own, being her myself. So I think that's really cool. And I'm excited to see how this all unravels because they're trying this on a trial basis. They're negotiating over the price. They want 20%. Then they, you know, go back and forth and finally end up on 12%. He does leave saying that, you know, usually he gives 30. I don't know if that's true or not. But it was like his little comeback. If it is true, if they do really well, now they have leverage to be like, hey, we got to bring this up. So there's room to work. So I'd like that business plan. I think it's great. But yeah, I want to see how they actually execute this because.
Yeah, I think it was a power move when he said that. Like I usually do 30%. I think that was just I know what business is. Like right. I think that's what he was doing.
I think he's very intrigued by these ladies because they get shit done. They're so unconventional. So I think it's really appealing in a way. But as you're saying, in a way, he needs to always have the upper hand because it's his business, right? This whole like gangster life.
He's
or
like
whatnot.
The pro. Like he's the professional in this right. situation.
And they're the newcomer. So I think it's a good way for him to just show like, hey, I'm the big shark here. So
yeah.
Let's not, you know. I think
don't go above me or try to do your own thing or like, you know.
Right, right. Because I think he
does, take me down.
Exactly. He's not really threatened by them yet, but he definitely has his eyes wide open just trying to see what this whole situation. These women were in episode one were about able to steal thousands and thousands of dollars, $500,000, I believe.
$500,000.
Yeah. Yep. So. Yeah, I'm glad he's taking them seriously because they have some skills.
They do. Okay. Is it time?
I think it's
Can
time.
Can we do predictions?
Well, I think you have to use
your buzzer. AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Woo! Okay, so we'll do predictions, and then we can get into news. But there's a few things happening that were not tied up beautifully with a knot, and that's the detective, Beth's husband's cancer, and this business. So while you're thinking of your predictions, did you see the preview where they start – turning the money in the superstore in Cloud Nine, and they start checking for the bigger bills, and they might run into a little bit of trouble with the counterfeit money. We're not sure. I'm not sure yet, but
cool. But
that was what the preview taught us. So that might come up in the next episode, and then also Ruby's unemployment status. Will she tell her husband? So there's a lot of things that are left untied. Do you have any predictions for next week or for the season?
For the season? Ooh, okay.
I know.
So for the season, I think I'm a little crazy. I'm seeing Rio and Beth's relationship develop more. I
want to see that just because you talk about it and that puts it in my mind. I'm like, oh, yeah, I could totally
they would
see
have
that.
The hottest sex ever.
They would.
Because they have so much tension. It's like a power struggle. Like it'd be really, really cool to see. I'm hoping that the cancer thing blows over faster. I hope that they don't, you know, she doesn't that her ex-husband doesn't drag her too much with it and spend, you know, just too much time on that. I really hope that kind of blows over. And I'm seeing Annie and her ex just hopefully getting on better terms. If we've seen small moments in the show when they are on good terms, I want to see more of those. And I want to see Annie have more control within the parenting. She has a lot, but in her mind she doesn't, because her ex holds the money factor. But now hopefully the money's coming in and she's gonna come more into her own as a parent and believe, like, hey, this is on my terms. I'm done fighting.
Yeah, I like that. And then bouncing off of that, I also, in the next episode, I think that we're going to see, you know, Ruby and her husband talk about her unemployment, and hopefully she finds a different job, a better job. Maybe she goes to college. I don't know. I don't think that they have the money to do that, but, you know, like, maybe we see something else happening in her life that's like, gives her a little bit more confidence and power and puts her in, like, the driver's seat. I think that would be super cool. And then I think with Boomer and his storyline, I think he's going to keep, like, stalking the girls and, like, trying to catch them and, like, prove to the detective that they're the ones that robbed the thing. And he might see, like, how big of a scope this is, because he's already found Rio. So I think that he's going to have a hand in, like, solving this case. So we'll see. I don't know. If you guys have predictions, make sure that you leave them in the comments below. Let us know what you think your predictions are. And speaking of comments, I want to give a shout out to Matthew Riggs, who's in the live chat right now. Hello, Matthew. Thanks for watching again.
Thanks, Matthew.
So that was fun. And that's kind of any other season.
Season, I'm good for now. Like, we'll see what happens.
Rio. That's your Rio and Beth. That's your season.
Hopefully.
And then news. So our last thing.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Ooh. Fancy music for our news. So Retta, who plays Ruby, she is actually coming out with a new book. So I think it's going to be a must-read book. It's called So Close to being the shiz y'all don't even know. So she's funny. I loved her on Parks and Rec, and I think that the book is going to be amazing. You can pre-order it today on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you buy your books, I guess. But it doesn't come out. It's not released until May 29th. So pre-order it, Retta's book. And then in other news, one other thing, the character who played the 11-year-old who had the birthday party, his name is Braxton, and he is going to be in that movie Tag that's coming out. So cool. There's a trailer coming out. It's a comedy. It's called Tag, and he's going to be the little boy in it. So he's moving on to some fun things coming up next. So those are things to watch for. I think that we'll cover all of our news.
Great. I think that wraps our episode up.
That wraps up our episode. Thank you guys for tuning in to the live chat. If you're watching now, you can leave a comment, give us a subscribe and 5 stars on iTunes. And do you want to go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you?
Yes. Well, again, thank you to everyone for tuning in. As we mentioned before, like, comment, subscribe, but most importantly, tell a friend about the show, because we want, you know, gotta spread this joy to everybody.
I know, lady power too.
Exactly. So in the meantime, please go ahead and follow me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliet, which is hello in French, and Juliet or Juliet, which is my name. So yeah, I post stuff on there. You also can catch me on different after shows kind of all across the board.
I love that.
I love doing red carpets also, so for AfterBuzz. So there's a lot of portals on AfterBuzz. So events, carpets, and junkets. Go check that out too.
Yeah, search her name. You can find us.
Yeah, there's like a lot of exclusive stuff where we get actors and people in the business in action. And it's really neat to see their thoughts. And they always have great advice on how to – advice that we can apply to ourselves. So yeah, go check all that out. All that fun stuff.
I love it. And you can find me, Kelsey Hightower, at Kels Hightower on Instagram. So you can follow me there or search me at AfterBuzz on YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for watching, and we will see you next week for episode 5.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.